where the poor child is actually home alone. Home alone. And he was lonely, right? Well, and he had those robbers, you know, chasing him. Yeah, Kevin was maybe the smartest. What was he, like 8 or 9? He dressed himself, got to the store. I would not have put on a turtleneck and a sweater when I was 9. I still don't wear turtlenecks and sweaters. But anyway. You've probably picked up on the theme. You know, we've been doing Christmas Decluttered, talking about all the things that can distract us at Christmas from, you know, what we believe is really what it's supposed to be about. We've talked about dealing with family, you know, and obligations. Last week we talked about gifts, talked about buying presents and trying to make sure everybody's happy and all that kind of stuff. This week, we're going to get a little more close to home, a little more personal. We're going to talk about loneliness. Because a lot of people at Christmas wrestle with loneliness. They're reminded of people who used to be around who aren't any longer. They think about maybe what they wish they had that they don't. You know, but loneliness is a very, very real thing. And I'm going to tell you today, if you are lonely today, you're not alone. Thanks for laughing at that, because that was bad. That was very bad. But here's what I want you to know about loneliness. A lot of people don't know this. Loneliness has been around for a very long time. Loneliness has actually been around as long as people have been around. Loneliness is actually the very first problem mankind ever had. Loneliness predates every other problem that actually happened. In loneliness, you know, this is a church, and I talk to you a lot each week about God's plan for our life and how when we deviate from God's plan, when we go outside of what he would want for us, it's called a sin. You know, we sinned. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But that sin, I'll talk to you about just about every week, is the root of most of the struggles and challenges we have. It's because we've sinned. Well, we have the only one that didn't come from sin. Loneliness is the only problem we face as people that wasn't caused by sin. Loneliness actually predates sin. In the Bible, in the creation story in Genesis, all right, God created the heavens and the earth. God created man, gave man the ability to work the fields and hang out with the animals and all that. And then this happened. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Now this was before the story you've heard where Adam and Eve were at a tree talking to a snake and they ate an apple. This is before that. God looked down and said, "It is not good for man to be alone." So loneliness, the need to connect, the need for others, existed before sin and before all these other problems kind of came in. And God, because he rocks, he solved it. God solved man's loneliness problem. Man, not good for man to be alone. Man, go to sleep. Boom, here's a woe man. Adam wakes up and says, "At last. All right, good job, God. Well done." So, it was perfect. It was fixed. Because God's like that. When there's a problem and God fixes it, boom. All right? So, then you had this whole thing of Adam had hanging out with God. That was good. Hanging out with Eve. That was good. No problems. And then you get to the story that some of you have heard before, which is when Adam and Eve, like we all do, decided, you know what? I don't trust God. I don't believe you. I don't believe you when you say, I can do all these things. I don't believe you. I want to taste that fruit that you've told me not to taste. And they did. They chose to disobey God, and sin entered the world, okay? And this is important because when sin entered the world, it broke everything. Not just our loneliness. It broke everything. It turned everything on its head of how we were actually created to be. It basically, what it did, when sin entered the world, when we decided we knew more than God and knew better than God, it basically gave us the nature, us the idea, us the mindset to do everything for ourselves, to completely transform the way we view ourselves and God, to make the focus on us and not Him. And we have been fighting that battle ever since. And see, it's this sin that really wasn't the cause of loneliness. Loneliness was our need for community, but that sin that came in has now interjected even more into it, because not only do we now struggle with community, with each other, but that sin cut us off from God. Isaiah 59:2 says this. It says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. And here's what that means. Very, very simply, just kind of establish a baseline here. Here's what that means. All right? God is perfect. He's perfectly good. And when He created us, so were we. When we chose to disobey Him, when we fell, it's called the fall. If you ever heard that, I'll refer to that as we go back. It's called the fall. When that event happened and sin entered humanity and we kind of became more about ourselves and God, when that sin entered, we were separated from God. That relationship that was so good and so complete was broken. And there's a wall, or some people call it a chasm or whatever, but we can't get back. There was no way for us to get back to God. There was no way for God to get back to us. It was broken. All right, and what we're going to talk about today is how God fixed it. How at the core, no matter what you think you need or how lonely you think you are, the real answer today is God. But press pause. We're going to get there in a minute. I want to say a few quick things about actually loneliness. Just a few quick things, and then we'll hit God's solution. But there's a couple of myths about loneliness, and I kind of want to clear those up. Number one. Did you know you can be lonely without being alone? Did you know that? Seriously, did you know? Come on. You can talk back to me. Yeah, I know. I hear you. You're lonely right now, aren't you? Yeah. Just left me up here hanging. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Awesome. But think about it. Think about it. And this breaks my heart. But think about it. There's some in this room right now. Possibly you're in a relationship. Possibly even a marriage. And you're lonely. You feel completely alone. Maybe you're the person in here who's the life of the party. You go out, man, you know. If you end up at Celebrity Square on Saturday night, you're going to know 1,000 people. Everybody's going to be high-fiving you, wants to talk, give you a little fist bump. But when you go home, you're miserable because you're completely alone. You don't have any real connections. You know, maybe you're super successful, make a ton of money, but something's not right. You still lay in bed at night hurting inside because you feel like you're missing something. You're lonely, and you don't know why. You don't know why. Well, it's very simple. I'll tell you why. It's because loneliness, this need we have in here, this loneliness, is a God-sized problem. And you're trying to fix it with man-sized solutions. And hear me, I'm not saying relationships aren't good. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm saying is God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, fixes loneliness forever. And we need to choose to embrace it. Because when we don't, when we use people, when we use money, when we use cars, when we use our children, when we use any of those things to make us feel needed, to make us feel wanted, to make us feel connected, when that's our ultimate source, it is never going to work. And here's why. If you've been here before, you probably heard me say this. All those things I listed, kids, spouse, friends, they are fantastic relationships. They are fantastic things to know and things to be a part of. But you know what they are terrible at? They are terrible gods. They're just absolutely horrible gods. And by asking them to help fix your loneliness problem, you're giving them something that only God can do. So, you can be lonely without being alone. Second one, you can be alone without feeling lonely. Any moms in the room? Any moms? How much would you pay for an hour alone? Right? Oh, come on, I want to hear that. Amen, right? Word up, an hour alone, right? It's okay sometimes to want to be alone. You're not a weirdo. Sometimes we need to be alone. We need to say, you need to go away from me now. I need quiet. You know, Jesus did it. Jesus had to get alone. So that's just a little, I guess, public service announcement for the husbands and wives in the room. If you're dating your friends, whatever. If your spouse needs some time alone, it's okay. Give it to them. Because you do too. Don't get offended. Don't get mad. Doesn't mean they don't like you. It means they need time alone so they can like you. All right? Anyway, you can be lonely without being alone. Okay? So don't sit here today and say, I'm not lonely. I have 1,000 friends. Really? And you can be alone without being lonely. You need it. You need that distraction. You need that isolation sometimes to clear your head. And I believe that the way God's designed us internally, it is completely possible for us to be alone and not feel lonely. It's completely possible. Even on Christmas Day, if that's the way it's going to roll. So, let's dive in, all right? Here's my answer, because I know some of you right now, you're sitting here and you actually feel lonely and you're saying, Trey, thank you very much. I understand what you're saying. I'm drowning here and you're describing the water. So would you please throw me a life raft? Here we go. Here's your life raft, all right? Here's where we go, all right? Real simple. Only God can solve your loneliness problem. Only God can solve it. Now, other things, can they put a Band-Aid on it? Sure. Can they fix it for a time? Sure. Can they make it hurt a little less? Sure. For a time. But then it's going to come back. Because only God can solve your loneliness problem. As I mentioned at the beginning, God's awesome. God's God. And the first time he solved this loneliness problem, he actually did it before we even knew we needed it. It was before the fall. Adam was just hanging out. Don't really know what he was doing. You know, hanging out with the animals, running around, you know, fishing. I don't know what guys do when girls run around, you know. Probably weren't playing video games because they didn't have those yet. But just hanging out. He didn't know. It was God who looked down and said, you know what? It's not good for him to be alone. I'm going to fix that. Because that's how God is. God loves us and he fixes our problems before we even know they exist. But then, the story I just told you happened, the fall. He created Eve, they hung out. They together decided that they knew better than God. It wasn't just Eve, by the way. You've always heard Eve ate the apple. She did. But if you read a little further, what you find out is Adam was standing there the entire time and did nothing about it. Imagine that. The man was passive and stood back, and the woman, imagine that. That's a different topic. But they fell. They fell. Sin entered, and excuse me, but literally all hell broke loose when that happened. We fell. The way we were created and designed for perfect communion with each other, perfect trust, a perfect relationship with God, it was all broken, and it was hopelessly broken. There was no way to fix it because we had stained ourselves. We were dirty. We had sinned. We had messed up. And so what God did was he looked down and said, you know what? I created them because I love them and I want to have a relationship with them and I want them to know me. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix it. Because remember, I said it's not good for man to be alone. And right now, I look down and man is alone. He's alone. How can I fix it? How can I fix it? And so here's what God did. God looked down and knew, these guys have made a mistake. They've sinned. They've broken the law. All right, is the best way to put it. Broken God's law, God's rules. And the way God's designed, like I told you, the way he's built, he's perfect. He can't deal with that. He not only is he perfect, he's perfectly just. So justice has to prevail. We, in his eyes, committed a crime. We had to pay for it. We had to be punished for it. It was the only way. But the thing is, we couldn't pay for it. We couldn't do enough because we'd messed up. So he decided, okay, I'll fix this myself. I'll do this because I love them. Because I want to have a relationship with them, I'll fix it. So he basically put on skin and came to earth and became a person. Jesus. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, you've all heard of a man named Jesus of Nazareth who was born a little over 2,000 years ago and whose birth is the reason that we have these trees and all that kind of stuff as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Well, he did. He came to earth, and here's what happened. For 33 years, he lived on this earth, and he literally was perfect. He lived the life God intended us to live. He was 100% perfect. He never sinned. He never made a mistake. He never displeased God. And then what happened next still blows my mind. But here's what happened next. After 33 years living on earth, perfect sinless life, perfect communion with God, the unthinkable happened. The religious leaders of the day didn't like him. They were scared of him because he had too much power. And so they started a conspiracy with the Romans, and they had him killed. Because, man, this guy's taking away our power. He's going to start a rebellion. We've got to have this guy killed. I mean, you've heard the story. Maybe you saw the Mel Gibson movie. He died on a cross. He died. But what we know now, and what he was teaching at the time, and what I know to be true from my own life, is what had happened in that moment when he died. What happened in that moment is God fixed this problem. He fixed our loneliness problem. He fixed our separation. Because here's what he did. He took every sin, every mistake that I've ever made or ever going to make in my life. Okay? He took every sin, every mistake every one of you in this room is ever going to make in your life. Every mistake that's ever occurred in humanity or ever will occur in humanity. And what he did is he punished Jesus for my mistakes. He took out that justicism, that justice system, that anger, that wrath, that thing that was separating us, that had to be paid for. He took it, and Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it. And when that happened, the ability for us to have a relationship with God became available again. He fixed our sin problem. And it's not the end of the story. 3 days later, he came back to life. And he lived for 40 more days, and then he ascended to heaven. He's still alive in heaven right now. But that's a story for a different day. But that's how it ends. It ends amazing. Because by conquering death, what happened is he allowed us to have the power to actually change. But like I said, that's for another day. But your loneliness problem can only be solved by giving your life and accepting the gift you were given on that day. When God said, I'm going to take every mistake you've ever made in your life, and I'm going to punish him for it because I love you and I want to have a relationship with you, and I can't punish you because if I were to punish you, you'd be gone. But I can punish him. So I'm going to. I'm going to punish him as a gift to you because I love you that much. And I know some of you have heard that story maybe multiple times. But I want to just paint the picture of you of what actually that means. It means we don't have to live a life where we're constantly jealous of each other, where we're constantly insecure about whether or not someone actually likes me, where we're constantly trying to one-up somebody else, where we're constantly saying, oh, well, you did this. Oh, well, I did this. Because that's not the way we were created. That's not natural. That is not who we are. That's who we became when sin entered the world. Loneliness, this desire, this need for other people to give us value and worth. Not how we were created. That's a modification that's been made. And we can remove that modification. What I kind of wanted to do, I want to tell you guys a story from my own life. Kind of about my experience wrestling with God and how I kind of came to give my life to him. And I think it'll make this real for you about how God solved our loneliness problem. Because right now you're like, yeah, I've heard that story before. He gave his life for me. Good. That's nice. But I just want a friend. You know? I just want a girlfriend. When I was in, well, my entire life, I grew up in church. You know, I was blessed. I grew up in a home of parents who were very active in church. You know, I was in church my entire life. So I knew the stories. I knew the Bible stories. I knew who Jesus was. You know, I mean, I remember knowing who Jesus was when I was 5 years old. And, you know, so I was always in church trying to say the right things, trying to do the right things. In middle school and high school, you know, I went to a church that had, I don't know if you ever heard, they're called youth groups. And, you know, it's basically a bunch of hooligans that'll go to church together and go on trips and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like a gang, kind of. But, you know, but a church gang, so can't be that bad, right? But anyway, you know, and this group, you know, we'd hang out, we'd do Sunday school together, we'd go on trips and all that kind of stuff. And one summer, the spring break of my freshman year in high school, we went on a trip. It was a trip down to Florida where we did some construction and all that kind of stuff. It was a mission trip, is what we called it. So it was really just an excuse to go to the beach for a week with your girlfriend, really. But we went down for a week. While we were there, we visited a church. At the time, it was the biggest church I'd ever seen in my entire life. I'm not going to tell you the name of the church because it's not important. But it was the biggest. It was a huge church, probably like 4,000 or 5,000 people. But at the time, I mean, it was easily the biggest church I've ever seen in my life. And when the service was over, their pastor had this thing where you could go meet him. And I was like, wait a minute. I can meet this guy? I mean, this was like, this church was so big, all right? And they all have them now, but this church was so big that literally there were three screens up where they would video him, and then his face was up on the screen too, you know? And it was like this dude was on TV. And so I was like, yeah, man, I want to go meet this guy. And so did my youth pastor. So we stood in line, and we waited our turn and met the guy. You know, I watched all these people who never met him before, just kind of shaking his hand. He was very, very, very nice guy. Very nice guy. My turn comes up in line, and I shake my hand, introduce myself. He says, hello, how are you? Shakes my hand, and that's it. And going about my life. You know, didn't really think much about it again. I'd met this guy. You know, great. I shook his hand. So, fast forward a few months. It's now the summer between my freshman and sophomore years of high school. I'm back with my youth gang again. And this time, we're at a camp. It's a youth camp, a summer camp, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it's a Christian church camp. So, basically, you have a class in the morning with a group of people where you do Bible stories, which is pretty cool, and you go out into the woods and you do team building exercises like climb over the wall and all that kind of stuff, which is fun. Then you have the whole afternoon to swim in the pool, which is fantastic. And then at night you get together and they do a service, you know, kind of similar to what, you know, what we do, only ours is better. You know, they play music and they sing songs, and then a guy gets up and talks, and, you know, it's for youth, and everybody goes crazy, all right? So one night, I walk in, and I had no idea my life was about to be completely and totally and radically transformed. Had no idea. So I'm just sitting there hanging out, watching the show, and this dude gets up. I know his name, and I'm going to tell you. His name's Michael Lord. Isn't that funny? That really is his name, Michael Lord. And he sings a song that at the time I never heard before, and it was kind of a contemporary Christian song in the, how old am I, early to mid-90s. It's called This One's With Me, is the name of the song. And basically the song, it tells the story of a guy going to heaven, and you know, you've probably all seen the movies or heard, you know, that you're going to walk up to this gate and St. Peter's going to let you in or not. You know, it's not 100% accurate, but whatever. Adam and Eve didn't really eat an apple either, but, you know, we just kind of let pop culture go sometimes. But anyway, that's not the point of the story. So the song basically tells the story of this guy going to heaven, and he's standing before God, and he's completely unworthy because we all are. We're all sinners. We've all messed up, and it's like I just told you about. You know, God's answer to us is to punish us because we messed up. But in the song, what happens is he gets to God, and Jesus walks up, kind of like, you know, it's almost like God was a bouncer, and Jesus walks up and says, "Hey, he's with me. Let him in." That's I'm not kidding. I mean, the song's not about a bouncer. I'm just trying to relate it to you. But that's what the song's about. The song is about Jesus saying, "This one's with me. He's with me. Let him in. He's good to go." Well, as that song was being sung, I have no idea why, except it was the hand of God on my life. It's the only reason. For some reason, I thought back to that day that I met that pastor at spring break. And I started, you know how sometimes you dream and you don't really understand the segues? I was daydreaming, I guess. Like, I wasn't asleep. But, TJ was joking with me last week. He said, "Man, you have very vivid memories of that." And I do. I think it was because it was a moment God used to transform my life. But in my head, as I was thinking about it, I was standing in that line, and the scene shifted. The scene shifted, and I was no longer in my, just thinking. I'm not telling you I had a vision or anything. I was just thinking, just daydreaming, right? But the line changed, and I was no longer in the line to meet that pastor. But as I was listening to the song, I was in a line of people in heaven. waiting to meet Jesus. And it was pretty cool. Just thinking in my head, just imagining. And I watched people hug him and connect with him. And I was standing in line, and right in front of me was a guy who had been he's older than me, but he'd been a leader in the youth group. I looked up to him forever. I still do. His name is Mark Chapman. At the time, he was one of the godliest men I knew. Today, he is one of the godliest men I know, without a doubt. And I don't know what to call it. What I was seeing in my head, it becomes Mark's turn to talk to Jesus. And Mark just bear hugs Jesus. Just wraps his arm around him. So happy to see him. They're both laughing. They start telling stories back and forth. I mean, it's like seeing your roommate from college after 10 years, or the way family acts when they haven't seen their loved ones for a while, or maybe you've had some experience with some folks overseas in the service and they come home. You know, that's the image. That's what it looked like when Mark talked to Jesus. And finally Mark got done, gave him a hug, you know. Catch you later, dude. We'll talk. And then it was my turn. And I stuck out my hand to say hello to Jesus. And it felt exactly like shaking the hand of that pastor from that spring break before. I knew who he was. He knew who I was. But he didn't know me. It wasn't like what I had just seen happen with Mark. Mark was hugging his best friend. He was thrilled to see him. I was meeting a guy I'd seen on TV one time. And I wept. Not in the dream, in real life. I wept about as hard as I've ever wept in my life. It crushed me because I realized I had known all these things about Jesus. I'd known what he'd done for me. I'd understood it. I thought I was even living it. But I'd missed, no, the reason I did all that was so that I could be your best friend. Was so that I can have a relationship with you. So that we can talk. So we can hang out. So that you can know me and I can know you. So that you're never lonely. Because you have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. And it changed my life that night. It did. Now, I'm not perfect. My wife will tell you. Anybody who knows me will tell you. But I've tried every day since to understand what it means to actually have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And I've understood that that fixes my loneliness problem, because it's a God-sized problem. And he fixed it. And once I have a relationship with him that is healthy and growing, what then happens is then I'm allowed to build relationships with other people. Relationships that are built on giving rather than taking, loving rather than demanding. Relationships that are built on this verse that we've read for the past 3 weeks, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5. It says this, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. That's available. that love, that acceptance, that forgiveness is available to each of us today. God is begging, He is pleading, He is screaming, let me fix your loneliness problem. Let me fix it. Christmas is coming up. You're celebrating my arrival, but you don't even know who I am. Let me fix it. And for some of you, I believe He wants to fix it today. So let's pray. Go ahead and bow your heads. Close your eyes. Here's what I'm going to do today. Some of you today need to make the decision to cross the line. You need to make the decision to invite Jesus Christ into your hearts, into your lives, to give yourself to Him. And say, I want to have a relationship with you. I need a relationship with you because I'm broken. I'm broken. I've presented the gospel today. The gospel is the good news. We call it the gospel because we think it is tremendous news. That we're all sinners. We've all messed up. But Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on the cross so that you and I could live. So it's very simple. Today, if you would like to make the decision to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're tired of trying it your own way, if you're ready to take that next step, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. What I'll ask you to do is pray in your hearts. As I pray aloud, just repeat after me what I'm praying. Talk straight to God. Father, I'm lonely. I've tried things and nothing works. And today I realize that you're the answer. I need a relationship with you. I know I've messed up, but I know your Son paid the price for my mistakes. Thank you. I accept the gift you offer of a second chance. I accept the gift you offer of forgiveness. I accept the invitation you offer to have a relationship with you. And Father, I promise that I'm going to spend the rest of my life getting to know you better, following you, and I'll give you my life because you gave me yours. Thank you for this gift. And Father, thank you that this is going to be the first Christmas that I really understand what I'm celebrating.